CIA and the United States generally were not known for torturing people. And we are not known for torturing people anymore. What we are known for in the Obama era is not torturing people, but rather killing them. On the same day that President Obama signed that executive order banning torture, a couple of days into his first term, he also signed this executive order to close Guantanamo. Now, of course, 4 years later, Guantanamo is not closed, even though that was an almost first-day priority for President Obama. He still says he would like to close Guantanamo, just as George W. Bush said he wanted to close Guantanamo. We have Congress to thank for the fact that it's still open. Congress has blocked the president's options for closing that offshore prison. But notice also that not a single new terrorism suspect, not a single new prisoner, has been added to Guantanamo since President Obama has been in office. People have left by a number of different means, but nobody new has shown up since Barack Obama was sworn in as president. We have not been shipping people to Guantanamo, even though the president has not been able to close it. We haven't been shipping terrorism suspects anywhere, really. Mostly that's because we haven't been capturing them, mostly. We've been doing something else. Since 2002, targeted killings, targeted missile strikes, have killed as many as 4,700 people, mostly in Pakistan.
FM radio station providing a service for the people of Chapel Hill and Carborough in high-powered, quality, innovative, enjoyable programs. Standards for all our shows. Non-commercial. Our station is creative and responsive to it.
It's G.I. Joe. Drone
sounds
operator.
Like sci-fi.
Look,
yeah, the science of the future is here.
Feel the adrenaline as G.I. Joe controls
Fine.
Unmanned drone
Just
planes.
Take a look at this. America's fleet.
We probably got him. Oh no, Stu's getting tired. Refill his coffee.
Comes with an adjustable desk chair and special lower back pillow so G.I. Joe can sit all day without back pains.
Look, Cobra supporters are mourning his death. Get him, Joe.
G.I. Joe, American hero. Killing people with computers from the safety of America. Comes with a packed lunch because there's not really any good places to eat around where G.I. Joe works. G.I. Joe drone operator and temperature-controlled suburban fortress sold separately.
Sounds like sci-fi, doesn't it? Yet the science of the future is here. Don't believe me? Why? Just take a look at this. America's fleet of unmanned drone aircraft. Ah, the majestic drone. Truly the reason God invented flight. A lot of people look at these modern marvels and see automated soulless flying death dealers and spy on all our private lives. But you can trust me when I say those people are communists. For millennia, the skies were controlled by the evil feathered tyranny of birds. But now, thanks to Uncle Sam, skies from Afghanistan to the Middle East have been reclaimed by armed drones.
This is what the war in Vietnam is all about.
The first wave of Marines landed at Grenada. Some 1,200 U.S. Marines would land in Grenada for several days.
Hit the road, birds! Of course, there are some safety tips you should keep in mind when dealing with these deadly wonders. Tip 1. One way to make sure you don't become a recipient of a free drone strike is to never, ever have a wedding anywhere near a drone might be. Drones hate weddings. Tip 2. Try to remain a civilian in any war zones. What makes someone a civilian, you ask? Who knows? But if you're a baby or already dead, you're already 75% less likely to be shot by U.S. drones. Tip 3. Seriously, no weddings. Look up, Lola. See, drones are no more dangerous than a post-breakfast cigarette. Now I know what you're saying. You're saying, hey, pal. How come people overseas get all the benefits of these miracle machines? Well, good news, friend. They're coming to a sky near you. Yes, our boys in blue can't wait to get their hands on these babies. Perfect for busting bad guys and watching citizens without their consent. It truly is a brave new world.
Well, 10 years ago this week, a defining moment occurred in the Bush administration's push to invade Iraq. February 5th, 2003, then-Secretary of State Colin Powell addressed the UN Security Council and made the case for a first strike on Iraq. Powell presented satellite photographs, tapes of intercepted conversations between Iraqi military officers, and information from Iraqi defectors and people seized in Afghanistan and elsewhere since 9/11.
Breaking story, President Bush's decision to neutralize Panama's General Manuel Noriega.
Since World War II, we have seen a dramatic escalation in United States military actions around the globe, ranging from missile strikes and rapid troop deployments to all-out wars and occupation. The reason for these military interventions have varied, each involving complex geopolitical interests in different parts of the world at different times in U.S. history. But the public face of these wars has not reflected this complexity. Over the past 5 decades, deliberation and debate about U.S. military actions have largely been left to a closed circle of elite Washington policymakers.
Specifically to avoid civilian casualties, I think it's fair to say that far fewer civilians lose their lives in an effort to go after senior leadership in Al-Qaeda along the lines that we are discussing here, as opposed to an effort to invade a country with hundreds of thousands of troops and take cities and towns.
Dan. Why are you dancing around the question of whether or not we kill civilians? Why can't the government at least admit that civilians
I don't think
killed?
That... Okay. I'm dancing around it. I didn't dispute
it. Necessarily disputing.
Well, I'm just not going to... What I can't do, or what I'm not in killing. I don't disagree with that.
Blasty, the magic drone.
He is everything that's great.
When you're in a fake,
he just blows up shit.
Okay. Hi, I'm Blasty. You're gonna be seeing a lot more of me now that everything is coming up drone. It may not look like it, but since I fixed up Afghanistan for the USA, now NATO is going to spend billions for their very own drones, and that's drone-erific. It feels just like peace when you're fighting war from your easy chair. While you're safe at home, I'm blasting bad guys and occasional innocent villagers who are clearly on their way to becoming bad guys. It's the drone creepment effect. From Afghanistan, Pakistan, Somalia, and Yemen to selling drones to Iraq and Turkey, I'm on the leading edge of the coming drone-topia, where my commander and drone can comfortably target U.S. citizens abroad. And drone-topia is coming to a police force near you, but just for surveillance, of course. Drone-topia is so wonderful, who can blame other countries if they wanted to be part of it too and say, blast threats who are hiding out in other countries? I can do it all. Kill bad guys. Kill good guys. Fight wars. Fight peace. Wash your car. And even paint your house. So sit back, relax, and push that button. Because thanks to Drone-topia, war has never felt so peaceful.
Hey, mister! What if the drone gets a glitch and it malfunctions? And what if it's used to shatter innocent people's privacy? And what if...
Somebody's been reading too many funny books. Now run along, Timmy. I'll be reporting you to the authorities later. Tip for you. The most important tip of all. Never show a drone fear, because only the guilty have any reason to fear drones. So worry not, Americans. Keep your heads down and forget all about the deadly hunks of metal and destruction hovering over your heads.
Micropower Radio, hey, this is Furious George, and we're just spinning some, who knows what that there in the background is, some Flying Lotus from his BBC mix. Started off with some other fun stuff, straight off the underground hip-hop scene, some Blawan, some really crazy trance music and other stuff that happens to be perfectly mixed in, hopefully suiting the, perfectly suited for this crazy topic that we're going to cover tonight, which happens to do with drones. We've covered this before, so here we go again. If you haven't figured out already, this is a Furious George show. Maybe offensive to some of you. Maybe. Hey, I'm furious! Stick around.
And remember, tomorrow's just around every corner.
I'm watching you!
say, look, we have to do counterterrorism.
Robots. Lasers. Microwaves.
We have to.
SEAL team was, of course, the killing of Osama bin Laden during a raid on his compound in Abbottabad, Pakistan. The highest profile drone strike killing was this guy, Anwar al-Awlaki, who's a U.S. citizen. He was born in New Mexico. He was killed in Yemen. But between those very high profile killings, there have been dozens and dozens, ultimately hundreds of drone strikes under President Obama, most of them mostly unnoticed in the news.
Politicians and bureaucrats whose rationales for war have come into public view only with the release of leaked or declassified documents.
Serious attacks and the capabilities of drones now are such that this is our best weapon. So
the illegal weapons programs
have to use drones, but there are a lot of questions that ought to be asked, and one of them is, should there be some sort of judicial oversight of something like a FISA court?
Yeah.
Or something.
But doesn't that just throw the hot potato to some other individual who would have to make the same judgment, and that person would be appointed as well?
Well, but especially when we're talking about a U.S. citizen, I think it's not unreasonable to say, and it would be my opinion, that there ought to be another set of eyes on it. And,
okay.
And of course, inside the White House, you can convince yourself of a lot of things.
Here's the question. It seems to me we have a limited arsenal of what we can do. We find out that somewhere in a place, somewhere in Yemen or somewhere in Saudi, somewhere in the world of Pakistan, for example, we understand that there's an activity that's basically a group of people putting together a plan to attack us. We have three means of stopping that. We can use the drones, which are amazing. We can use a SEAL team attack, man. I guess. Or we can invade the country in a war.
Officials have explained and justified these military operations to the American people by withholding crucial information about the actual reasons and potential costs of military action, again and again choosing to present an easier version of war's reality.
On the Monday of President Obama's inauguration, the same day that President Obama outlined this wide-ranging liberal agenda for his second term, that same day there was a drone strike in Yemen. And that drone strike on Inauguration Day followed drone strikes in Yemen on both days of the weekend that preceded Inauguration Day. So we had drone strikes on Saturday and on Sunday and on Monday, the Monday the president was sworn in. Doesn't really make the news. One of the most unusual things about drone strikes for us as citizens in a country that does them is that for so long, our country would not admit that we did them, even when we all knew that we did. That was the case. That did not change officially until April of last year, April 2012. And the person the administration put forth to do that, to admit that policy for the first time publicly, was John Brennan.
So let me say it as simply as I can. Yes, in full accordance with the law, and in order to prevent terrorist attacks on the United States and to save American lives, the United States government conducts targeted strikes against specific terrorists, sometimes using remotely piloted aircraft, often referred to publicly as drones.
Thank you.
failure of American news media to check government distortion reached new heights when, on the eve of war, the highly respected Secretary of State Colin Powell appeared before the United Nations to make the case that there were weapons of mass destruction in Iraq.
Saddam Hussein's intentions have never changed. He is not developing the missiles for self-defense. These are missiles that Iraq wants in order to project power.
And I'm here today because President Obama has instructed us to be more open with the American people about these efforts.
They were. I refused to act because I was squeamish about some of these concerns. I decided to do nothing. So in the end, you have to choose.
Well, yes, but
you have to choose something to do.
This week particularly, we're rolling a couple of different issues together. There's the issue of whether you can use a drone to attack an American civilian. That's what the memo was all about yesterday that our pal Mike Isikoff revealed. Then there's the whole...
Where are you on that?
Well, I thought the memo did not make a strong enough case in terms of what it said about imminence and about there being, as long as there's one informed high-level official, that's not good enough. I'm with Gene. You got to have some oversight to review.
Do we have the right to kill a person who's decided to be a turncoat against their country? Do we have a right?
I think if you find someone who is operationally involved in terrorist activity or a terrorist group that is indeed active and has the ability to strike the United States, yes. Okay. I believe it's a pretty high standard. But yes,
in other words, the soldier on the other side.
Yes.
Robots, lasers, microwaves.
A steady and remarkably consistent storyline designed not to inform, but to generate and maintain support and enthusiasm for war. Nationally syndicated columnist and author Norman Solomon began to notice the basic contours of this official storyline during the war in Vietnam.
As a teenager, I read about the war in Vietnam as it escalated. I saw the footage on television.
In combat, there are no niceties. A dead enemy soldier is simply an object to be examined for documents.
To threaten and to deliver chemical, biological, and, if we let him, nuclear warheads.
Today, Secretary of State Powell brought the United Nations Security Council the administration's best evidence so far.
After Colin Powell's speech to the UN, immediately the U.S. press applauded with great enthusiasm.
Did Colin Powell close the deal today in your mind for anyone who has yet objectively to make up their mind?
I think for anybody who analyzes the situation, he has closed the deal.
Why exactly the Obama administration thinks these strikes are legal? They say, let me say as simply as I can, in full accordance with the law, the United States government conducts targeted strikes. In full accordance with the law. We know that they do think it's legal. But they won't say why they think it's legal. The closest we have come to learning about how the Obama administration justifies drone strikes is this. In the fall of 2011, New York Times reporter Charlie Savage wrote this story. This is about a week after Alaki was killed, Alaki, the U.S. citizen who was killed in Yemen. And the story describes a super secret 50-page memo written by an office within the Justice Department that effectively serves as the Obama administration's legal justification for why they think it's okay to kill an American citizen without a trial. Now, the New York Times did not actually get to see this memo. They did not publish the memo, nor did they quote from it directly. The memo was described to the reporter by anonymous sources. And that's when things got really weird. Because after the Times reported on the existence of the memo, the Times reporter who wrote that story and another Times reporter and the Times itself and the ACLU and other people tried to get the Obama administration to release this memo. Well, somebody from the administration who has high enough clearance to read it is willing to talk to a reporter about it. Please, can we see it? Everybody filed Freedom of Information Act requests. None of that worked. Those Freedom of Information Act requests were denied, and the government refused to confirm or deny that the memo in question even existed.
Republican. Moderate Republicans have more or less disappeared. The Republican Party is overwhelmingly so extreme that it's hardly a traditional political party anymore. And the mainstream Democrats have become pretty much what used to be called moderate Republicans. There's a couple of exceptions around the fringe, you know, people like Dennis Kucinich and a couple of others, but it's not there anymore. But basically, we have two parties, one a moderate Republican Party and the other some phenomena that's so extreme you can hardly call it a political party. And the country, the elite system, has more or less shifted with them. I mean, it's not uniform. I think you're right that if Reagan had been carrying out a global assassination campaign, there might have been a hue and cry, but not much. Take a look at what Reagan was doing. Okay, so this morning, for example, it was reported that in Guatemala, General Rios Montt, is being brought to trial, to everyone's surprise. He's being brought to trial for crimes that he committed in the early 1980s under Reagan.
Yet the science of the future is here. Don't believe me? Why? Just take a look at this. America's fleet of unmanned drone aircraft.
G.I. Joe! All day without back pains.
Look, Cobra supporters are mourning his death. Get him, Joe!
To eat around where G.I. Joe works. G.I. Joe drone operator and temperature-controlled suburban fortress sold separately.
The U.S. military. And as time went on, I began to wonder, particularly as I became draft age, about the truthfulness of the statements coming from the White House and top officials in Washington.
We fight for the principle of self-determination, that the people of South Vietnam should be able to choose their own course, choose it in free election, without violence, without terror, and without fear.
And through that process, I began to really wonder about whether we were getting more truth or lies.
In the years since, Sullivan has focused his attention on a set of striking parallels between the settling of the Vietnam War and the way presidents have rallied public support for subsequent military actions.
Refuse to acknowledge whether or not the memo exists. Its existence is itself classified. Or should I say, its existence or lack thereof is classified. But the Times did report on its existence back in October 2011, and they filed their lawsuit back in 2011. And members of Congress have also asked the Obama administration to please release this memo. We know you think it's legal. Why do you think it's legal? The closest anybody ever came to getting the Attorney General to admit that this memo in fact exists was this very, very awkward moment caught on tape during a routine budget hearing back in March of 2012.
I still want to see the Office of Legal Counsel memorandum. And I would urge you to keep working on that. I realize that's a matter of some debate within the administration, but...
that would be true.
That would... Can I say that? That it would be true that there's debate about the... Just last month, a federal judge named Colleen McMahon ruled on the lawsuit to release this memo. So they filed a Freedom of Information Act request. They said no. Then they said, okay, it's no longer a request. We're suing you, demanding that you release this memo. And Colleen McMahon was the judge who received that lawsuit. And she ruled in the government's favor. She ruled that the government could keep it secret. The government could, in fact, keep secret their secret justification for killing a U.S. citizen without trial. But what was amazing about this ruling is that the judge was so vocally unhappy about having to issue the ruling. Look at what she said. Quote, I can find no way around the thicket of laws and precedents that effectively allow the executive branch of our government to proclaim as perfectly lawful certain actions that seem on their face incompatible with our Constitution and laws, while keeping the reasons for their conclusion a secret.
Officially declared, looking for people, the U.S. has put on a kill list. So far, the administration has mostly refused to tell Congress, human rights groups, or the American people how it decides who to kill and how it could be legal, especially when its own citizens are targets. A newly leaked document suggests the administration believes targeted extrajudicial killings can be an act of self-defense when it comes to the leaders of groups like Al-Qaeda. An imminent threat, according to the 16-page memo, doesn't have to mean an actual attack is about to happen. It's the spy. For this administration.
Some of these things are fact-based, and I can't necessarily get into the weeds of how parsing things. You can't, I think, examine these terms without having a reference to the facts.
Human rights groups have been campaigning for more information.
You don't have to have a specific attack that's being planned on the against the United States. And what this really means is that it's a very broad authority to use lethal force, to use drones and other ways of killing people around the world, far from any battlefield.
Ah, the majestic drone. Truly the reason God invented flight.
All right.
And see automated soulless flying death dealers that spy on all our private lives. But you can trust me when I say those people are communists. For millennia, the skies were controlled by the evil feathered tyranny of birds. But now, thanks to Uncle Sam, skies from Afghanistan to the Middle East have been reclaimed by armed drones. Hit the road, birds!
Looking back on the Vietnam War, as I did many times, I had a very eerie feeling that while the names of the countries changed, and of course each circumstance was different, there were some parallels that cried out for examination. Rarely, if ever, does a war just kind of fall down from the sky.
In some operational way.
Someone's running
some
a radio manager. Station or a blog site. Soldier on the other side.
Yeah, someone who's not someone who's just the propagandist, but someone who is involved in some operational way.
That's right.
Drones and other ways of killing people around the world, far from any battlefield.
The White House insists being affiliated with Al-Qaeda is just about all the evidence it needs.
I think that what you have in general with Al-Qaeda, senior leadership, is a continuing process of plotting against the United States and American citizens, plotting attacks against the United States and American citizens. I think that's fairly irrefutable.
Congress is likely to ask for further legal justification as the president's pick to head the CIA goes before them to try and get confirmed this week.
Of course, there are some safety tips you should keep in mind when dealing with these deadly wonders. Tip one. One way to make sure you don't become a recipient of a free drone strike is to never, ever have a wedding anywhere near a drone might be. Drones hate weddings. Tip two. Try to remain a civilian in any war zones. What makes someone a civilian, you ask? Who knows? But if you're a baby or already dead, you're already 75% less likely to be shot by a U.S. drone. Tip three. Seriously, no weddings. You'll get blown up. See? Drones are no more dangerous than a post-breakfast cigarette.
This irrefutable, undeniable, incontrovertible evidence today. Colin Powell brilliantly delivered that smoking gun today. Colin Powell was outstanding today. I mean, it was lockstep. It was so compelling. I don't see how anybody at this point cannot support this effort.
He made a wonderful presentation.
Yeah.
on-screen argument with someone who makes comments as if he'd never been in government a day in his life. People like him.
Where we are. Tomorrow we're hearing for John Brennan, who is being pushed as a CIA director, someone engaging in aggressive war, the use of drones and so forth. And let me say that my colleagues at RootsAction.org are asking you to sign up at RootsAction.org to challenge that nomination.
A picture of a pretty purblind, apathetic, ignorant public, representatives in the government and elsewhere. I can't support that kind of broad brush painting of the situation.
Did they get it from their everyday lives? Did they get it from their PTA?
They probably got it from the same place a lot of people in the government got it, which was that Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction, had used them against his own people. No one thought he would get rid of them since his number one enemy, Iran, was kept at bay, certainly in part because he possessed them. I think there was a pretty good feeling across the world. Accusation that the administration of George W. Bush, which Colonel Powell, you thought for yourself,
lied and deceived
other Americans
and spun for war continuously, and that's reality.
Why
were
you influential in bringing the American people to believe what you believe?
I wanted to cut in here, Norman Solomon, and actually read from the Downing Street memo.
We know that was the case.
Norman Solomon, I just want to cut in for a second.
The presence of and read from the Downing Street memo. Iraq, as you know, Hussein Kamel, the son-in-law of...
Okay, so let's step back a bit and...
Breakfast cigarette.
The foundation needs to be laid, and the case is built, often with deception.
In the background was the growing struggle between two great powers to shape the post-war world. Already an iron curtain had dropped around Poland, Hungary, Yugoslavia, Bulgaria.
It can't happen here. Well, this is what it looks like, and it should.
Cody, if you could just tell us what exactly about this memo that you are opposed to.
I wanted to clarify, I'm with the Center for Constitutional Rights. Our number one problem with this memo is, well, there are several problems with it. One is, as was said, it's not enough. This is a white paper summary of a memo that remains secret, that we haven't seen, and the administration has still not said enough about how it believes that it has the authority to kill people, including U.S. citizens, outside of any recognized zone of war. So there are a number of problems with it, but the starting point, I would say, is actually about a continuing lack of transparency and an absolute lack of accounting for what the government is doing. It has not answered fully or meaningfully to the public, or certainly not in court, for any of its killings, which by now number anywhere from 2,000 to 4,000 people. So this memo is about one, about specific circumstances where the government believes that there's a specific individual who's a leader of an associated force who poses an imminent threat. That actually, there are problems with that analysis, but it doesn't describe the majority of targeted killings that are occurring by the United States around the world.
I just want to just get in here and just sort of take it a little wider, a little...
citizen and what does bother me a bit, though, is that there's no structure, there's no process that goes
so how can
the
abuse, what abuse are you
House?
Concerned about?
Well,
okay.
I
let's say it's a murky case, it's a cleric, it's just a propagandist, a Tokyo Rose type. Is it that? You would go along with that.
Number one, you can have the highest regard for the people in the White House, President Obama, John Brennan. You can, but you can realize that they're only going to be there for 3 more years. And we're setting precedent. This is the way warfare is going to be. This is the way counterterrorism is going to be. This is a weapon. They make the point that this is a flexible, very useful, valuable weapon that.
What's wrong with trusting the judgment of people around Obama and not trusting the judgment or the values of people around, say, Dick Cheney?
Well, that's
we make those judgments all the time.
Take it back.
Yeah,
no.
But what you mean,
can't?
If you give the power to this,
you can't.
If you give the power to this president, then you expect the next president to have similar powers.
More dangerous than a post-breakfast cigarette.
Under a free press. He goes to jail too.
Fighters will account for some of the enemy, but some will get through to your home.
The use of propaganda to arouse public support for war is not new. Leaders throughout history have turned to propaganda to transform populations understandably wary of the costs of war into war's most ardent supporters, invoking images of nationalism and channeling fear and anger toward perceived enemies and threats.
Now I know what you're saying. You're saying, hey pal, how come people overseas get all the benefits of these miracle machines? Well, good news, friend. They're coming to a sky near you.
Yeah.
comes with an adjustable desk chair and special lower back pillow, so G.I. Joe can sit all day without back pains.
Look, Cobra supporters are mourning his death. Get him, Joe!
American hero, killing people with computers from the safety of America. Comes with a packed lunch, because there's not really any good places to eat around where G.I. Joe works. G.I. Joe drone operator and temperature-controlled suburban fortress sold separately. G.I. Joe!
Yes, our boys in blue can't wait to get their hands on these babies. Perfect for busting bad guys and watching citizens without their consent. It truly is a brave new world.
Hey, mister, what if the drone gets a glitch and it malfunctions? And what if it's used to shatter innocent people's privacy? And what if...
Somebody's been reading too many funny books. Now run along, Timmy. I'll be reporting you to the authorities later. Oh, here's one more tip for you. The most important tip of all. Never show a drone fear, because only the guilty have any reason to fear drones.
She was operating in a legal environment that amounted to a veritable catch-22. John Brennan faces his confirmation hearing to be the head of the CIA on Thursday of this week. He will face questions from senators on the Senate Intelligence Committee who will presumably ask him about his time in the CIA of yore under George W. Bush and his time as the face of the drone program under President Barack Obama. One of the senators who sits on the Intelligence Committee who's going to get a chance to question John Brennan is Oregon Democrat Ron Wyden, who's a bit of a contrarian on these issues. Senator Wyden recently wrote a letter to John Brennan asking for answers of his own about targeted killing and about why it's justified and exactly how it is justified. The questions themselves are so basic that they are almost more telling than some of the answers they could but probably won't receive. Questions like, for example, how much evidence does the president need to determine that a particular American can be lawfully killed? Also, this is one that sticks with me. Does the president have to provide an individual Americans with the opportunity to surrender before killing them? And are there any geographic limitations on the intelligence community's authority to use lethal force against Americans, including can any intelligence agencies kill people under this authority in the United States? Could the CIA or any other intelligence agency come kill you if the appropriate high-ranking official in the Obama administration, say President Obama, decided that you were affiliated with Al-Qaeda and you were a threat and you might act imminently to endanger this nation? Could you then legally be killed as you laid in your bed? We may see on Thursday how many of those questions John Brennan will answer, but tonight, 4 days ahead of that hearing, NBC News' Michael Isikoff has obtained a document that comes closer than we have ever gotten to obtaining details about that secret memo that supposedly justifies this, the memo that may serve as the justification for the American government killing American citizens. Tonight, we have exclusive reporting on the contents of that white paper. Joining us now is NBC News' National Investigative Correspondent, Michael Isikoff. Michael, thank you for being here.
Some of the arguments that have been made publicly and in ways that in some instances contrast with what has been said publicly. Now, To be fair, Attorney General Holder gave a speech last March where he laid out the administration case for targeted killing of Americans. He gave a three-part test. If there's an imminent threat of a violent attack against Americans, if capture is not feasible, and if the attack is carried out, if the strike is carried out in accordance with law of war principles. But let's take that first one first. Imminent threat of violent attack. That's the way Holder defined it. When you look at this 16-page memo, which I've obtained, which is a further legal justification, you see that actually they refer to what they call a broader concept of imminence than direct active intelligence of a plot against the U.S. In fact, it explicitly states that imminence does not mean that the United States has to have clear evidence that a specific attack on U.S. persons or interests is underway. If the U.S. believes that the target has in the past been involved in such violent activities and the target has not renounced such activities, it can be assumed that they are an imminent threat now and that would justify an attack. Now, again, remember, we're talking about targeted killings of Americans. We're talking about making decisions based on secret intelligence. And we see in this memo that some of the definitions are a bit more elastic and open to interpretation.
Not Americans. Keep your heads down and forget all about the deadly hunks of metal and destruction hovering over your heads. And remember, tomorrow's just around every corner.
I'm watching you.
Radio. Hey, this is Furious George sending you into the 11 o'clock hour, East Coast time, where we are taking a little bit of the Furious George final moments to recognize the absurdity of what's happening with the war on quote-unquote terror still under Obama, who's just seemed made into a video game. So if you like what you're hearing, go to WCOMFM.org or check out FuriousG.blogspot.com. Furious G, as in Furious George, and Blogspot it. You'll see some of my old shows where we've been covering these issues, especially war, the last decade or so. So if you can help out, do that by supporting WCOM or doing just what you're doing right now, listening to Micropower Radio. I'm going to be signing off. I'll see y'all next week. Thanks for being furious.